Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Welcome to the first Patriots training camp cast, and we will not be reviewing a practice because today is July 25th. We are one day away from the opening of 2012
training
camp.
So that means we're going to
preview training camp here on Patriots.com. That was Paul Perillo. I'm Andy Hart, and I think fans are jacked up.
Should be.
You know, Pete Prisco helps that out when he comes out and predicts the team to go 16-0, and fans just want to get rolling. And they have the bad taste in their mouth from the end of last season. I think there's a lot of excitement. Maybe not quite 16-0, but most fans think this is going to be among the best teams in football. And because of that, they've been circling tomorrow on the calendar for quite some time. First question I have for you, Paul, did you pass your conditioning run?
I have yet to take it.
Oh, good.
So I have
not failed
it. I gotta
think if you were a player, this would be the day you would really agonize about. Once you get on the field, you'd be fine. You'd just be worried. Could you actually get on the field?
Yeah, that would be a tough thing. Because I've seen some guys that are in really, really good shape not be able to pass.
Some guys don't test well. They cramp up. They get tight.
I did used to have some anxiety when it came to runs at the beginning of practice in high school.
And that is the anxiety that the veteran, healthy players are feeling today because they've reported to Gillette Stadium, and part of the physical to get on the field for training camp is indeed taking the conditioning run. We may find out later today or tomorrow some guys who start camp on PUP because they failed their physical. Some of those guys will be injured potentially. Some of those guys may have failed their conditioning run. We already have some guys on it because the injured players reported earlier this week, and guys like Logan Mankins, Brandon Spikes, Sebastian Vollmer,
Daniel Fells, Jake Ballard,
and Jeremy Ebert.
I believe those are the six.
PUP because they had known injuries, or at least Ebert's came from this spring. The other guys had known injuries coming back from last season. And there were some guys, some young players, Jeremiah Warren, Matt Rourke,
Justin Francis,
who has since been removed, but those guys were placed on NFI, which could lend you to believe Mark Zusevics, who has an injury. Justin Francis, likely one of those conditioning run failures. A couple days later, he's off NFI and able to practice, probably passed it. But this is a preview podcast. We got all the nuts and bolts out of the way there. There is no real news other than Vicente Shianco, the veteran tight end, reportedly signed by the team, the 89th man on the roster. The team will, at this point, looks like, head into training camp with one open roster spot, unless we get another move today. Paul Perillo, how do you feel? Just general feeling heading into this camp, because we always like to debate, is this roster stacked? I mean, are they going to have to cut guys that are going to start for other teams? How good, 1-89, is the competition, is the talent of this team?
The way you put it, you posed the question that way, I think it's just a regular Patriots roster. I think that this team is stacked in that I think they have a very, very good offense. I think they have a lot of different answers on offense, and they've added to it with Brandon Lloyd, obviously, from last year, bringing back guys like Stallworth, Gaffney to create some more competition among wide receivers. So I think they're very talented defensively. We don't know, and we both agree we're going to get into this probably as we talk more now in Camp Cast 2012 here. They brought in a lot of guys.
Ooh, we need some music.
They brought in a lot of guys. We're going to see how those guys impact what was probably not a defense that wasn't good enough last year. There are a lot of draft picks. There are a lot of free agent signings. I'm very excited to see how those guys fit in. I think they are very much stacked in terms of being a very quality football team, but I don't know about the whole 1-89 thing. I don't know if it's any different than most Patriot teams that we've seen. I don't think there will be significantly talented players let go from this team that are going to go on and just rip it up somewhere else. I know last year the Patriots cut a lot of players who hooked on elsewhere, but you know, Brandon Tate and Will Yeatman and Lee Smith, those kinds of guys.
Tone before you get to James Sanders.
James Sanders, Brandon Merriweather, I didn't really think that those guys lit it up elsewhere. I think they were guys that you see available from most teams during the course of the early part of the NFL season.
Little cross promotion. We are in the process of posting five questions that the entire staff of Patriots Football Weekly answered. You and me answered. No, that's not proper English, but
you
whatever.
And me.
We'll move on. Fred Kirsch and Eric Scalavino also answered them. And all of us, I think, in some form or fashion, said that the theme, the overwhelming storyline of training camp will be the defense. Somehow, you know, the new pieces come together, are they good enough, whatever. And you just used the word excited to see some of those guys. Are you clearly excited at the potential there? Because I actually kind of fall more on the other side of that.
I'm not
dubious.
Surprised.
I think this defense has a lot to prove, and I actually posed the question on Twitter this morning, name your top five playmakers for the Patriots this year on defense, and got responses all over the board. Lots of rookies in there, new faces. Very interesting, I thought, in one of those Darren Rovell-esque unofficial polls. And I'm dubious. The fact that Andre Carter isn't here, who was arguably their best defensive player last year of a bad defense, a Pro Bowler, and there's so much expectation seemingly being placed on Dont'a Hightower, Chandler Jones, you know, even Jake Beckett, Tavon Wilson. I think there's a lot to prove on this defense, not only in August, but obviously in September and beyond.
I do agree with you. There's a lot to prove because none of these guys is a known commodity, and that's what can be kind of dangerous. I feel the reason I'm excited about it, and you're a little bit dubious, I'm excited because I feel like sort of departure for the norm for Belichick is he identified some guys, particularly in the draft this year, and went after them. He had some athletes, I thought, in Hightower and Jones in particular, that I'm really excited about seeing. I can't wait to see Hightower. I just don't think there are a lot of men that are roaming this planet that size that move the way he does.
You like him because he's a little thick around the middle. He's kind
big.
Of your type of player.
Listen.
Not too many portly guys have a lot of success.
Your rocket shots aside, I just don't think there were that many guys that size. It's, you know, and listen, in full disclosure, and we had one of our listeners brought this comparison up yesterday on PFW in Progress. In full disclosure, I felt very similar about Adalis Thomas in 2007. I called him, and I think you did as well, but I won't throw you under the bus, the Randy Moss acquisition of the defense.
Oh, yeah.
That season. I thought, this is a special guy, a 260, 270-pound guy that moves like a much smaller man. I am really, really excited about seeing Hightower. I'm really excited about seeing Chandler Jones. I think these kinds of athletes have been lacking on the Patriots' defense, and that's been part of the problem why they haven't had playmakers. I don't expect these guys to come in and rip it up right away, but I think that their athleticism is going to lend itself to more plays than we've seen in the recent past.
I think it's interesting that you drew the comparison on some level between Adalis Thomas and Dont'a Hightower, because we've gotten some emails, and one of the things we talked about leading up to the draft was, no question, Alabama had the best defense in college football. A lot of draftable players, first-round picks.
This is a concern.
Did you get Ray Lewis, or did you get Adalis Thomas when you drafted Dont'a Hightower?
Yeah, and we talked about that all through the draft process. And how many times did you and I, whatever we were doing, whether it was for Patriots Today with B-Lo and or our own prospect previews that we do here on Wednesdays in the pre-draft season, which guy is the guy? You know, you had Upshaw and you had Kirkpatrick in the secondary. You had Hightower. I mean,
the nose tackle.
You had so many quality players on that defense. And by the way, you had a guy coaching them
right. That
is at least five notches above most of the guys he's facing on a week-to-week basis in college football, and Nick Saban.
Right.
Much like with Bill Belichick here with New England, a guy who you feel like you have an edge coaching most every week, if not every week. So which one in that Alabama defense that was totally dominant was responsible for it being dominant?
Well, luckily, you also have a good relationship between those two geniuses, and
correct.
You hope that the genius at the college level told the genius at the NFL level, this is one of the legit playmakers.
A scary comparison one step further, though, with your Adalis Thomas thing, because if we remember the Ray Lewis rant, which I remember, Adalis Thomas did not make this defense, and listen, there are a lot of guys on that Ravens defense that have gone to greener pastures and free agency and flopped.
Right.
And Adalis Thomas was just one of many.
The other guy, obviously, who's kind of in the crosshairs of the spotlight will be Chandler Jones. And there is certainly reason, much like Hightower, for both hope and doubt, I think, on him. Hope says he's your Jason Pierre-Paul, a guy he's been compared to because of the length, the athleticism, the build, and he could be that elite guy on the edge. I think doubt, dubious people like me, say The guy never had more than 4.5 sacks in a college season, 10 for his career. Probably not quite as high a competition level in the Big East on not as good a team. Is this guy really going to come in and be one of your top five playmakers, be a starter at your right defensive end spot, where, by the way, you got Pro Bowl contributions a year ago from Andre Carter? Is he good enough to be that?
I wish I had a definitive answer for you, but that's probably the thing that I, you know, we started off the whole thing. That's what I think the overwhelming storyline will be throughout camp, is how these pieces fit in. I think he'll get off to a slower start than Hightower. I think you're right. I think he has a chance to start immediately. But in terms of impact, I think Hightower is probably a little bit more progressed in his career right now. The whole, you know, career arc that Belichick likes to talk about, at some point they'll intersect and we'll see what happens with both of them. But I think Jones is probably starting from a point lower than Hightower is. And you had some interesting stats that you brought up yesterday. You talked about the low level of competition in the Big East and the fact that he was at Syracuse. As an aside, I would wonder if maybe that worked against him because he was the guy, quote-unquote, the guy that had to be stopped on Syracuse's defense. You could let the other guys sort of do what they wanted to do. You had to focus on him, make sure that the most talented guy didn't hurt you, whereas Dante Hightower, as we already talked about, was one of many NFL players, and you couldn't afford to focus especially on him. But Jake Beckett, you had some interesting stats and numbers on him in the SEC at Arkansas in a program that played against numerous quality high-drafted tackles in the last two seasons in the SEC, but he had good numbers, as you pointed out yesterday.
The one thing, just full disclosure, Jones did have a knee injury last year. I believe he played in 6 or 7 games, so it was a limited season. He would have had by far his best production, theoretically, if you projected it over a full schedule. But I just, you know, even Pierre Paul went from a situational guy with potential in year one to a defensive player of the year type candidate in year two. So even if he's as good as Pierre Paul, 2012 might not be the coming out party that some fans are expecting based on my little Twitter poll. Paul, I want to, you know, we've mentioned...
You want to get to Jake Beckett? There's the numbers that he put up? Because I thought, I don't remember him, otherwise I would spout him
he
off.
He had more sacks in every season than Jones ever did, had more sacks last year than Jones did his entire time at Syracuse. So he was just a productive force. And I think he will be a complementary productive force here. I think they're probably going to feel comfortable putting him in there in some pass rush situations and saying, go get it. It's not much different than the SEC. Go get it. You've proven it before. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's a great player. He'll be a starter or anything like that, but he may contribute as a rookie.
I see, though. You keep all your positive comments off the air.
You
want to be tied to any.
There's only so much room in this oversized
head. Happy
thoughts. Sometimes things go in one ear and they're gone the next day, and I need you to remind me of them.
Right.
On the offensive side of the ball, we discussed this a little bit earlier, and we discussed it upstairs. There really aren't a ton of huge questions. You know, the biggest question maybe on the offense, the backfield, how is that going to unfold? Is Stephen Ridley through with his fumbling problems that crept up last year? Can he be solid enough to replace Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who's now in Cincinnati? And I would say some of the other questions, how the offensive line unfolds. Does Brian Waters show up? Does he not? Is Logan Mankins on PUP only for the summer, or does he have a chance to be there to start the season? You know, Dan Cope and Dan Conley, how do all those roles play out? Nate Solder, is he ready for the big show, the big shoes of being the left tackle for Tom Brady? And then obviously the bottom of the depth at wide receiver. I think we know that Welker, and I think we all assume Brandon Lloyd, are going to be your two top targets.
Agreed.
Is Deion Branch still here as your three? Does Gaffney, Stallworth slide into that role? Could Deion Branch be cut? Is one of those veterans making their second tour here going to be cut? But overall, the story of the offense is, you know, they're going to be a top five offense. Nothing good can come out of training camp, really, as a major story for the offense. Only bad. Only injuries or ineptitude.
And that's a typical Andy negative way of looking at it, but this one, I think you're 100% right on. If there's a major storyline that comes out of this camp about offense, it almost certainly has to be a negative one.
Right.
Someone of consequence got injured, because I think we feel pretty confident in the tight ends, pretty confident in the top wideouts, even the depth at wide receiver, as you unfolded. I think all three of those guys are going to make the team.
I do too.
Gaffney, Branch, and Stallworth, I think, all have a place. I think with Stallworth, he's so different than the other two that he has a niche there. The only question will be how Bill feels about his special teams and whether or not he can afford to not have any of those, because I really don't think Gaffney, Branch, or Stallworth has really any significant role in special teams, the slight possibility being maybe Stallworth as a returner,
mm-hmm.
but even that I don't really see at this juncture. So, you're right. If something major happens on offense, someone would probably have gotten banged up, because otherwise, really, depth, health, I should say, on the offensive line is the only slight concern. And I really think that Mankins and Vollmer are going to be there come week one of the regular season.
Yeah, my only real health concern on the O-line is Solder. I think they can overcome pretty much any other injury at any other position. I think they have depth at every position across the front. I'm A, not sold that Solder is a Pro Bowl left tackle right now. I think he will be. I'm not sold that he is right now. And B,
sold on the ability, not sold on the experience.
And not sold on the backup, because I don't think they have a backup left tackle. Certainly, I mean, Vollmer's done it a little bit, but he's a question mark to even play, never mind be your left tackle every week. So that would be my only real concern.
I think a guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
Oh, now it says Andy. Sometimes they put that in there. They don't put the Andy. They just credit it to you. But the real question of training camp is always the bottom of the roster, the fun stuff. You know, we actually see more of those guys generally in preseason games. We see guys become little cult heroes. So that's where I want to give me a.
I'll give you the number one cult hero.
Give me a camp sleeper who you think can make the team, a nobody who's going to be on the final 53, and a guy who's going to be a preseason favorite with the fans, cult hero, practice favorite.
Okay, I'll give you two sleepers that you and I have talked about a little bit. For possibilities, and we haven't seen them in pads yet. We won't see them in pads probably until the weekend, so cut us a little slack if it doesn't actually work out this way. But one is a guy who was on the practice squad last year, Matt Coppa, offensive lineman. Dante Scarnecchia spoke very highly of him when I spoke to Dante at the Super Bowl. The second one is Justin Francis, who is a sort of an edge-type player. I don't know if he's a linebacker or a defensive end. I think now with his 4-3 stuff, he's probably just a defensive end.
Yeah. Maybe even a sub-interior rusher.
Yeah, I think he's a guy. He's from Rutgers, a program, obviously, that Bill has a lot of connections with. Sort of fits that mold. He's a guy I'm going to watch. Fan favorite has to be the guy that you did the profile on in the draft, Nate Ebner.
Who we just passed in the hallway.
Who we did just pass in the hallway. A little bit bigger than I thought.
Yes.
When he walked by.
He looks the part.
So I think he's going to be a guy. I've heard a lot of people ask, have you seen the YouTube clips of him playing rugby? Yes, we have seen. He's a gifted athlete. We all agree.
And Mike Vrabel told me the first time the fans are going to eat him up. As soon as they see him, they're going to love
him. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a fan favorite. They're going to love this guy. He's running around like a missile.
And you think he'll stick? Because I do. I don't think on the roster. I think he'll stick.
I think he might stick around, because I think in this day and age, most of your draft picks stick around in some capacity. But I don't think he'll be on the 53-man roster unless it's a situation like last year where,
all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, you're going 8, 9, 10, 11 deep at one position.
Okay. Any last thoughts before we wrap this up?
Francis
is definitely one. I still think Forston, the kid out of Miami, is a guy who, pure talent-wise, is an NFL player, never put it together at Miami, had problems with some health, came out early. There's just a whole lot of strangeness to his story, but pure physical ability, probably has NFL talent. Offensively, Brandon Bolden, you never know with the running back situation. I'm not sold that Joseph Addai is by any means a lock to make the roster. Bolden coming into last year was a guy who there was a lot of intrigue with. As a versatile back, I think he had like 17 touchdowns as a junior at Ole Miss, then had a fracture in his ankle that cut his production, cut his playing time. He may be a sleeper, who knows. But I think those are two guys, because the running backs get a lot of run in the preseason. Third and fourth quarter, he could get a lot of handoffs.
He could have a 100-yard game
and all of a sudden you kind of flash.
Think of Thomas Clayton from a few years back.
So I think those are two guys to keep an eye on. I'm just excited, because I think there's a lot of unknown, especially on defense. I like this time of year where you get to kind of project and play Bill Belichick. Well, who am I going to play here? Who can play? Who's going to stick? And most of those questions are on defense. And I enjoy watching good defensive football. So hopefully we'll be working to getting back toward that, because we didn't see much of that in New England last year, good defensive football. So, and then the one thing we didn't touch on, Devin McCourty. Is he year one Devin or year two Devin?
Well,
gun to your head. Come on, gun to your head.
If I have to choose one of those two, year two.
Yeah.
I'm going to say in the middle, but if I have to choose one of those two extremes,
negative.
I think that year two probably more so than year one.
But it is an exciting time because, frankly, we just have football back.
And we just did a camp cast 2012.
That's right. The Red Sox suck. There's nothing else going on. The Celtics, who cares? They're never going to beat the Heat now. So it's all Patriots all the time. 16-0, New Orleans. We're on our way. Book your hotel. And it starts tomorrow afternoon at Gillette Stadium. 1:30. Be here. Come early if you want to do the fan zone. Bill Belichick will have his press conference shortly before that. Patriots Football Weekly in progress will be on at 11 if you want to listen to our final thoughts before we get out on the camp field. And as always, stop by the media tent and say hello to Paul Perillo. He will be there to greet fans each and every day at practice. Until you see Paul in the tent, peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.